My cardiologist calls it a man bra.
I am so sorry I asked.
He's a bit of a Simon Legree. He likes to torture me. It is an external defibrillator. It's also called a life vest. It costs my insurance company over $3,000 a month for me to wear this. And aside from giving me blisters where those, what are they called?
Electrodes
are, outside of that, and being terribly discomforting, it does nothing. Unless my heart stops. And if my heart stops, it's supposed to charge it up again. So I don't know if it works or not. Because my heart hadn't stopped. They told me if my heart stopped very long, it wouldn't be good. So I wear this. So it's just another thing to put up with, you know. And then this here, they say I have to have oxygen. That if you go very long without oxygen, week or two, you're really in bad shape. So I have to have that. So it's enough to sideline me. That's why I have to keep coming back here. The churches in Indiana, they won't let me go out east. I got a test coming up on my heart the 27th of this month. And it's called an echogram. Determines the ejection fraction. And if it's high enough, I'll probably still have to be on oxygen, but I'll be able to get rid of this thing here. It's a nuisance. And I'll be able to go and get back on the road, hopefully. So the eye, my wife told me to shut up. I thought she said stand up. And when I did, she belted me. So you're not the only one. It's getting hard of hearing. Most of my hard of hearing is on purpose. So. So, maybe if you'll be real nice to these people, they may let you preach Wednesday night. That would be good. Well, the way of the road leads up. I often am longing for rest, but he who appoints me my option knows just what is needful and best. So the path of the lone Galilean, with joy I walk today. And the trials of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. Open your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I'm wrestling between this one. And am I doing that? Huh? Am I getting too close to that mic?
You're all right. Huh?
Will it? Yeah. I know a lot of people that play around in church. They got these little things in their hands. You know, they're not paying a bit of attention to what's going on up here. You know, they just, you know. I need to go back to the old days. Just put a stack of hymnals up here. Every time you see somebody do that, I'm wrestling between this and the message out of Acts 9. What the Lord demands of you. And that'll have to wait another day. So expect another call. I may preach it in February if you still got me down for that. I don't push myself on very many people, but I don't feel like I'm doing that here. So when the preacher tells me I got to stand an invitation, I believe him. So I just find out if he means business. So, and your pastor does. And you're a wonderful group of people. You're just my home away from home. And, I tried to talk him into building me a house back here. He said he didn't have any money. So I said, well, hit Mowry up for it. He's loaded. I want to talk to you for a little while. And believe me, it'll be little compared to the old days. I still miss walking up and down the aisle, spitting all over the first three rows. You know, shouting it out, but I don't know if any of that's ever going to come back or not, Jack. But I'm thankful for what I can do. It's better than sitting at the house. I want to talk to you about the peace of God. How to have the peace of God. I had my wife and I back in, see, the 1998 or 1999, was down in Mexico getting some natural treatments for some physical problems. And one night I couldn't sleep. And they had, where we were staying, they had a veranda where they kept the lights on all night. And I was sitting out there and kind of wrestling a little bit with God. And not fighting, but just sometimes you just get along with God and try to get the mind of God and the direction of God. And I was concerned about my wife, and so my favorite New Testament book is Philippians. So I was reading and rereading Philippians, and I got here in chapter 4, that verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Worry is not supposed to be in our vocabulary. Oh, help me with this thing. This is a Baptist life vest. Just unplug. Take that. It's a female Baptist thing. It's got a mind of its own.
I thought your heart stopped, sir.
If my heart stopped, I'd... Because it delivers a shock. They tell me. So anyway.
Just stick it in your pocket. I'll take the rest of it.
Okay. Just let it hang. It'll teach it a lesson. So I went back and I outlined these first 7 or 8 verses of Philippians. And I call this the progression to the peace of God. You know, everybody needs the peace of God. We have the, if you're saved, you have the peace of God. Romans 5? 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a judicial term. It's forever settled in the court of heaven when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You are justified. Hallelujah for that. But we're talking about this side of it. We're talking about our daily life. Problems, difficulties, enemies, stuff crowds in. And if we're not careful, sometimes we're not experiencing the peace of God. That keeps, that word keeps means to stockade. It means to build a fort around our heart. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So, if there's anybody here who would like to know how you can have the peace of God in your life no matter what you're facing, I've seen people, the minute they found out they had cancer, they gave up. And they spent the rest of their life in turmoil. No peace. I've seen others go through life-threatening experiences. With the joy of the Lord in their heart.
Yes, sir.
The peace of God protecting their heart and their mind. That's a sermon. And so, if you're in search of the peace of God, maybe you know somebody that needs to get established and strengthened and settled, like 1 Peter talks about. It takes the peace of God to do that. Notice some things here. Notice this progression leading to the peace of God. Notice back in verse number 1, one of the first requirements. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So we need to, first of all, stand fast in the Lord. Get our life anchored in the Word of God. Build your life on things eternal. God is our eternal refuge. The Bible is from everlasting to everlasting. Is our eternal message. The Bible has the answer to every problem. The Bible has the solution to every situation. Stand fast. Don't build on shifting sand. Because the wind's going to blow. The rain's going to come. Can you hear me all right? And we need to build our life on the rock. Stand fast. Number 2. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. I think I'm glad I didn't live back in those days. Hey, Euodias. I don't know if I was a man or a woman. Probably called her Odor for short. Or Syntyche. Probably called him or her Sin. I wouldn't like that. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. I call this staying focused on Christ. Be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, we got a lot of man worshipers. We went through a period in fundamentalism where people paid more attention to what the preacher said than what the Bible said. And a lot of people built their convictions in their life on what the preacher taught, and he may have been teaching right, but they didn't put Bible principles. It was just what the preacher said. So if the preacher went bad, guess what? It blew them away. And then, now you don't have this at Blessed Hope, but there are some churches that have internal division where church members get upset one with another. They're not getting along. Only by pride cometh contention. Spurgeon said, when God kicked the devil out of heaven, he landed in the church choir. I didn't say that. Spurgeon said that. But I've been some places where I believe is right. Not here. You folks get along, don't you? Huh? I was, here we go again. Some rabbit trails. I preach in a church in a place called Cochranville, Pennsylvania. That's about southeast corner of Pennsylvania. In fact, it's not too far from where Randy Starr built his church. This fellow that started this church found this old church building. It was empty. So he found a for sale sign that had been laying in the grass for a long time. He prayed about it, and he just felt like God was going to give him this building, start a church. And so he went to the house and loaded up some lawn care equipment. And his pickup went over and started cleaning the place up. And there's a fellow lived across the road, walked over, and he said, "Hey, fella, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm cleaning this place up." They said, "What for?" He said, "I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to start a church here." He said, "You're going to start a church, huh?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you going to start a fighting church?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you see those three big windows across the front?" Said, "Notice that one on the far right." "Yeah. It's different than the other two or three." He said, "Yeah." He said, "The last group was in there one Wednesday night. They got in a big fight, and one of the deacons got knocked through that window." He said, "That kind of church you're going to have?" "No, sir." He said, "We're not going to fight. We're going to fight the devil. We're going to fight sin. But we're not going to fight each other." So that fella said, "Well, boy, you get your church started, I'll give you the first $10,000 toward the purchase of the property." And he did. He never went to church there, but at least gave $10,000. I thought that was pretty good. And they never knocked anybody through the window. But you see that? Well, you want something that'll quit. Spirit. You just have some church members fussing and fighting. Huh? Whew, boy. Vance Havney was right. We Baptists are many, but not much. You'll get that. That'll soak in. You've heard that before. I know I say it all the time. Because it's true. No. What's the way to avoid division? Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll never lead any of us wrong. Huh? So just be of the same mind in the Lord. He said it in another place. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let's just think like Jesus does. Amen? Yeah. Third step. Verse 3. "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Number 3, strive for souls. Notice what evangelism is. Notice what the Great Commission is. In that verse, it's wrapped up in that word labor. It's hard work. Huh? You got to fight the world. You got to fight the devil. You got to fight flesh. Now, not in this church. I better never hear of it. Did you know that there are churches that oppose transportation ministries? God help them. Huh? I don't know, if you're not trying to reach people in your community, how can you in good conscience drive by their house day after day, week after week, not try, some way, somehow, to get the gospel. Let us not lose sight of what the church's priority is. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That means at home and abroad. You're bringing two men 2 weeks from today. Randy Starr built a tremendous church, a mission-hearted church. And three words to be a participant in. Number one, personal soul winning. Number two, evangelism programs in the church. And number three, missions. Be involved in sending the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. Strive for souls. When are we going to get it through our head that God's not going to bless disobedience? And if we're disobedient to the Great Commission, we're disobedient. You got that, Hector? Yeah. Where's Hector at? Good. Didn't want to embarrass anybody. Not until I have to. Number four. Straighten your attitude. I like this one. He said, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. I skipped one. Verse four. That's where I am. Verse four. Rejoice in the Lord. When you feel good. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Straighten your attitude. I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. If there's a segment of society that ought to be able to get out of bed every morning rejoicing in the Lord, or even if they can't get out of bed in the morning, they ought to be able to rejoice in the Lord. It ought to be people who are heaven bound. Amen. Take the world, but give me Jesus. You know what Jesus said? That 35 teams he sent out in Luke 10, they came back in rejoicing because they'd had power with God. You know what Jesus said? Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You may be able to take everything away from me that I've got, but there's one thing you can't. You cannot take my eternal salvation. So no matter what happens to me, I may get old and sickly. I may end up with a bunch of serious life-threatening physical problems. Who knows? I may have doctors look me in the face and tell me that I could die anytime. But I'm going to tell you, I can rejoice. Because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. We're glory bound. Heaven bound with a hammer down. The old Southern preacher used to say. So we ought to have the right spirit and the right attitude. Amen. Kills me. Some people come to church looking like they've been sucking on persimmons. Huh? You just want to spin him around and kick him in the fanny and tell him to go down to Methodist church. You know? The only reason we don't is because they can't get any help down there. Then hopefully, maybe some of our joy will rub off on them. You know, so we go ahead and bite the bullet and put up with them. But you're not going to get my joy. You can be as bitter-spirited and uncooperative and as sour as lemon, but you're not getting my joy because you didn't have anything to do with me getting it. It come from the Lord. Amen. So we ought to have the right attitude. And then look at verse 5. Strengthen your testimony. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now he's talking about moderation. Does that mean that we shouldn't drink more than 2 Budweisers? Only 1 shot of Jack Daniels? We're supposed to do it in moderation? Is that what it's talking about? No, it's not what it's talking about. One thing, it tells us the Lord's watching. The Lord's at hand. So whatever this is, the Lord's getting a good look at it. That word moderation is an interesting word. It comes from a Greek word that means to resemble. It finally dawned on me what I'm supposed to, or who I'm supposed to resemble. Huh? I'm supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. Amen. So people are not supposed to see Bob Hamblin in me. They're supposed to see Christ in me. Boy, I love that verse over there earlier in this chapter where it says, the desire is by life or by death that Christ be magnified in this body. Does the world see Christ in you? Or do they see you? I have to ask myself that question. Are they seeing me? Or are they seeing Christ? That's my testimony. And I want a Christ-like testimony. Don't you? Strengthen your testimony. Stabilize your heart. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, notice this, your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Stabilize your heart. Fortify your heart. Build that defense around your heart, around your mind. And then God will stockade your life. God will protect you. See, the enemy's bigger than us. So we do our part. God will do his part. He's going to give us a peace that passeth all understanding. He's going to keep our heart and our mind. He's going to give us his power and his partnership. Notice verse 8. Here's what we're supposed to think about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Boy. Build your mind. On the right kind of thought process. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Remember, primary church. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. See, that's true for you and me. Better be careful. Better watch that television. Be careful what you watch. Better be careful about that internet. That internet will stick stuff in there on you that you didn't even order. Ruin a lot of Christians. No. We have to have wholesome, holy, pure, moral thinking process. And then we had this wonderful relationship, this partnership. Verse 9. Those things which ye've both learned and received, heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Partnership. The peace of God. We're experiencing it every day as we go through life. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can report that today. Let's bow for prayer.
Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How'd that sound this morning? Peace of God. He said it right. Before you can have the peace of God, you got to have peace with God. It starts with salvation. So let's start there in our invitation. We may have gathered a group of people here where every single one has already been saved. They can look back and find out on the timeline of their life, that point, that time, that moment, where they fell under Holy Spirit conviction and felt the drawing of the Father and understood the gospel and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing better than that, because from that day on, you have peace with God. And if you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, the invitation first and foremost is for you. Without the peace, making peace with God, you cannot have the peace of God. So if you're here today without Jesus, we have Brother Gordon sitting here at the front, and in a minute when we start our invitation, we're going to invite you to come to the nearest aisle down here and just meet with him, and he'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you could be saved.